Button here. It's our great pleasure to welcome for the first time to Many Rivers Books and Tea Linda DeLaurier. She is the author of this just to be published or almost published book, Awakening Hair, Enhancing Your Life. She'll be talking about awakening hair, caring for your cosmic antenna here, because of course our context is a spiritual practice context. And for those of you who had an opportunity to read either online or the flyers in the window, you can see that Linda has come up with a wide range of topics relevant to spiritual practice that touch on hair. And so we'll be looking forward to hearing about that. She has a master's degree in clinical psychology, for which she wrote a thesis on the significance of hair, and a master's in European languages and literature, where she researched hair symbolism in fairy tales and literature. So please join me in welcoming Linda DeLaurier to Many Rivers Books and Tea.
Thank you so much.
Awesome.
Thank you all very much for coming. And I want to talk a little bit about why I got so enthralled with the theme of hair. I am the typical wounded healer, meaning I myself had hair loss at least 3 times, all different reasons. And the first time I had hair loss when I was a teenager, which is not fun. And back then there was no internet available and doctors were really not ready to help. And that started my lifelong search into finding out what there is to know about hair. My first hair loss got eventually cured by a classical homeopath. And for the last 30 years, I have been studying and practicing classical homeopathy. It's my favorite alternative treatment, and I was also able to help a lot of people with their form of hair loss. But then there was another aspect of why I was interested in hair, and that was whenever I went to get my hair cut, it felt uncomfortable. I felt unseen, and I felt slightly violated and helpless, being in front of a mirror with wet hair, and someone would cut their hair too short or not right, and then I would leave. And I always had that thought, there must be more to hair than that. There is something magical about hair. I want to find it. And back then, again, no internet, and there were libraries and not much available. When I started yoga and meditation, I was about 17. Shortly thereafter, I had a vision of a hair healer coming over the ocean to Germany, where I grew up. It was very vivid. And I was, very intrigued by that and sort of let it go. At that time already, I had started yoga, as I just mentioned, and I grew up in Hamburg, Germany, next to a Guru Ram Dass ashram. And the Guru Ram Dass ashram belongs to Kundalini Yoga and Yogi Bhajan and the Sikhs, the CHO community, basically people who teach vegetarian lifestyle and teach meditation, chanting, and yoga. And ever since I grew up, I saw these people with white turbans bicycling around town, coiling their hair into, how they would say, into an antenna, into a rishi nut. I saw that and it was a little strange, and they had a restaurant in the center, but eventually, maybe when I was 17, 18, I went inside and I met them and I started to practice yoga and meditation and felt home, absolutely home. That's where I started to understand that there are many, many people on this planet who do really believe that this is not just dead protein coming out of our skull. It is actually our feeler, our antenna, and it is very much connected to our cranial bone system, to the acupuncture meridian system, to our energy field, and to our aura. And I'll give you examples for each of those areas in a little while. Then eventually, a couple of years later, I met this hair healer that came over across the ocean. Someone said to me, Linda, there's a person in town who offers hair balancing. And I knew immediately that that must be it. And so I went to see him. And it was really amazing. He had developed a hair cutting technique based on, inspired by Buckminster Fuller. Does everybody know Buckminster Fuller? Buckminster Fuller is no longer on this plane, but he is a very famous philosopher and architect, and he wrote many books, and he developed this geometric structure called the geodesic dome, which is earthquake proof and has amazing sound and healing qualities, and that's what he's famous for. And I'm sure you have books about Bucky, as his fans call him and his students. So my hair balancing teacher was really intrigued with Buckminster Fuller, and he developed a way of cutting people's hair honoring the sacred geometry angle system. And that's what, that was just one aspect. And he came to Germany and to Europe and shared his technique, his philosophy, which was also about natural hair care and helping people with simple means and telling people to just be themselves, to be authentic, but to also be conscious about who cuts your hair and with what energy, and to know that if you have the right haircut and the right treatment, it can actually benefit your overall well-being. I translated for him, you know, 2-3 years, and I studied with him, and then he unfortunately tragically died, and then his friends and a bunch of us, we continued to practice and to teach and continued where he had left off. Yeah. Any questions so far before it becomes too much of a monologue here?
Well, this is all shocking to me.
Shocking. Are your hair standing on end right now?
As you said, I never thought of it as anything but dead protein.
Dead protein, yeah. That's actually a definition that some scientists came up with, because, of course, this stuff does not reproduce itself. Only the root inside the scalp does reproduce, and it's actually a full-functioning little hair-producing factory that is connected to our hormonal system, our emotional system, our nervous system, everything.
Wow.
And hair is a beautiful, amazing metaphor for life. I mean, hair documents our different life phases, but hair itself, its growth cycle, is just like life. It a new hair is being formed, basically being born, then it stays for a while, then it falls out because it's pushed out by another hair. It's a very, rightfully so, great metaphor for life. Yeah.
And I would think that you're also talking about hair anywhere on the body, not just on the head, but...
Yes. There are several kinds, basically 5 kinds of body hair that we have, and the millions of people on this planet who really believe that hair is something that God gave to them and that has a purpose, they also will tend to not manipulate those hairs, hence long beards for the Sikhs, and also not shaving anything. And again, the yogic literature or the yogic knowledge has an explanation just for every single hair what it means. My favorite is actually more the fact where we don't have hair, and we don't have hair here on our forehead, right? And why is that? And people ask me, because I balance people's hair, so I cut people's hair, and people ask me, what do you think about bangs and fringes, and would you want to do this? And I said, well, think about it. We do not have hair here, and the yogis, or people who understand the chakra system, and also that every chakra is connected to a gland, know that right in the center of our brain, we have 2 major glands. The pituitary gland, which is correlated to the 3rd eye chakra and center, and the pineal gland, which is connected to the crown chakra, right? So this one here and this one. Both, by the way, will always be touched upon when you receive a haircut. People are just all over here, right? About the 3rd eye and this. So my belief system, influenced by Yogi Bhajan, is that we do communicate with one another on 3 levels. Body language, I mean, if I stand like this, that says something. Then the actual words I'm speaking. But then there is a metaphysical communication through our 3rd eye, through our antennas, through our higher self energy bodies. I believe that we don't have hair here because light will go through and stimulate our glands. And Yogi Bhajan had taught us that a child, just when it's born, it cannot really focus yet its eyes onto its mother's eyes. It will always look a little bit like higher or around, but it can focus in on that sort of umbilical cord or energy pathway and the auric field. And you have to see that if you have little babies, they will not look straight into your eyes. They can't yet. They zone into this area. And therefore, yeah, I do recommend rarely, I mean, for a woman or a man to have a full set of bangs, because it also covers half of the head. But I mean, you could try it for style purposes or fun. But I prefer this area open. I think there's a reason.
Okay. You're going to go over the five kinds of hair.
The five kinds of hair, exactly. Well, we have our head hair, and we have our body hair. And again, from a yogic point of view, all these little hairs are sending information to our sense of balance. And hair has to do, even this hair, with aerodynamics and with the way we move through space. We also have tiny little hairs in our ears.
Oh yeah.
And I mean not the microscopically small hairs that have a function, not the ear hair that's a hassle to shave out. So yeah, so that's what I know about the body hair. Then there's the hair that grows in our underarms and our genital area, and also that hair has an energetic purpose other than, especially underarm hair, to avoid skin rubbing against skin. That's why we have hair there, because skin rubbing against skin causes irritation, or can. Same if there is no pubic hair and the whole lovemaking process. It's a different thing if there is no hair. The hair, according to some sources, is there also to create an electromagnetic field that makes the conception of a child, or invites the conception of a child. The eyelashes are there to filter the light, and if you've ever looked into the sun, and you can see how sometimes you can see little rainbows on your eyelashes. It really helps to diffuse the glare. The eyebrows are there to keep the sweat from rolling into your eyes. That's a very basic biological function. You see, all hair has a basic biological function too. For example, head hair serves as a buffer for head injuries. It really makes a big difference. You think, oh, it's just a little hair, it doesn't weigh much, it is not much, but, you know, have a stone fall or a little rock fall onto your shaved head or one that's covered. Right. Did I forget any? No, I think I got all the hair, groups of hair. We can talk about hair loss, hair problems more. We can talk more about what I mentioned earlier, for example, the influence of a haircut on your energy system. Would that interest you?
Yeah, it's so amazing because I just had my hair cut yesterday. It was if I'd have known all this, I would have been more careful.
But more careful, I always say, if the person who cuts your hair, and have to have two things going for themselves, they have to be kind and loving. Uh-huh. And they have to be good in their technique.
Yeah, she was very sweet.
Yeah, that's very important. What I think is really, detrimental, and what I will stop immediately, is when you do receive a haircut and the person who cuts your hair is not focusing on you because they're thinking or talking with someone else, or if they start talking to you about problems in their lives. When I was trained to cut people's hair, literally, every time I would talk about something that was not uplifting, or I felt a nudge. I don't know if that was a little gnome or an angel or something. I felt a nudge. So I am completely conditioned to never cut and speak at the same time. And then later I conditioned myself to not do it. Because this is a channel. Each hair is a little channel. It can actually store energy. It can send energy out and receive on a physical and metaphysical level. So if I cut someone's hair, not only do they trust me, they sit in front of me. I have their crown chakra, their whole being there, their stories, their psyche. And it's just with any other body work, not right if you start talking about your divorce or about something. That is just really painful. And it can't stay in that field. Yes.
The best haircut I ever got was I went into the mall and it was Regis, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they switch out their hairstylists all the time. And I wish I could have got her card because it was the most relaxing haircut I'd ever had. I mean, she didn't talk to me. She really took her time in massaging my head. And she was really in tune. And I almost fell asleep.
Yeah.
What a difference.
What a difference, yeah.
And it would be nice if they asked if he wanted to be talked to or not.
Yeah, or you speak up. And
and
I also have a lot of clients from places where I used to live. And then, of course, when we move on and there are not that many holistic hair care professionals out there, then we tell our clients and friends, well, the next haircut you get, and if you are sensitive to chemicals, which so most of my clients come to me, find me because of allergies and sensitivity to chemicals. That is the number one reason why they find us on the internet. But you know, ask the hairdresser if they would be willing to meet at another time when everybody else is gone, when you can open the windows and have no chemical smells, and also when there is no noise and not tons of people buzzing around, and offer them to pay extra. I mean, how often do you really need a great haircut? I mean, some men need it every 2 weeks, and some people shave every day. That's a whole different story. You know, people who have a little longer hair, like Sydney, like you, like that, how often do we need that? And what will it do for us if we ask for silence, for focused attention, for a chemical-free environment? Yeah, it's actually one of my... Yes.
Well, you were talking about yogis.
Yes.
I studied Buddhism for a long time, and Buddhist monks and nuns shave their head, and I was just wondering about your thoughts about how that happened, you know, like, or what is the meaning of that?
Mm-hmm.
If you have any thoughts about that.
That is the other end of the spectrum. May I go back to the yogis for a second? The yogis are famous for not cutting their hair at all. And, I mean, they are, you know, yogis with super long hair, and that hair is called jata. It's uncut hair, and I believe there is sacredness to that. I mean, no metal has touched that. It's just nature, wild, it's awesome. And the other end of the spectrum is shaving your head, which I find exactly the same. It's balanced just as much. And it's actually balanced more in the physical sense because you have weightlessness. And all your acupuncture points, and we'll do a little demonstration with Sydney a little later, everything is even. There is no weight pulling on your cranial bones. It's a wonderful state of balance, and I myself had my hair shaved by my ex-husband many years ago to have this experience of feeling this incredible freedom and lightness. And hair balancing tries to cut hair with different details and techniques to have as much lightness as possible. But that's just an overview of shaved hair and long hair. And people... Can you remember your question? People who shave their hair, there are different reasons. If it's done voluntarily, then it's, I believe, like we had this talk before, empowering. And monks who shave their hair are letting go of what hair stands for. Hair has very strong connection to our animal nature, it's our fur. It has a strong connection to our sexuality. I mean, again, this is where we have hair, and then this is where we have hair. This is just what it is. And by letting go also of this fur, you know, the hair that, you know, the mother caresses when she tucks the child in, is a renunciation of that human aspect of life, of reducing the experience of sexuality and sensuality and intimate connection and opening yourself again. There is a concept also, same for shaved head. The shaved head is just as much an antenna, right, as a lot of hair. Does that answer your question?
No, that's very helpful. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You had a question.
Well, I was thinking about people whose hair falls out because they have chemical treatment for cancer,
mm-hmm.
or something like that. So that would that be kind of the opposite of, or would they still do they still get transmissions?
Yeah, I know. And of course, I believe.
And I'm asking that seriously.
Yeah, and I believe as much as I'm passionate about hair and promoting, you know, a consciousness for hair. As much as I'm also a dualist. I mean, it is hair, it's very important, and it's just hair. Right? It's not as important as the rest of the body. It's not, because we do not need hair to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also one reason when people experience hair loss, I explain to them, well, it's not... You have hair loss, but there's something else going on with your organs, and that's more important. Your liver, your heart, and your body will do everything right now to keep those organs functioning. And yeah, it will take a little energy away from your skin, and the skin might not look so good, and it will not put as much energy into your hair. That's why hair loss is always a symptom for something going on a physical level, on an emotional as well, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But that's another topic. So people who go through chemotherapy, and interestingly enough, not everybody loses their hair.
Oh, yeah.
Not everybody. And some people grow their hair back after chemo, and people even grow back their natural color. There's all sorts of stories, but most people in the last decade have chosen to shave their hair before it all falls out, to be empowered.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've probably heard in the media, and then the whole... You know, fire department, everybody shaves their head in solidarity for their colleague and friend who is going through it.
Mm-hmm.
And people have been proactive, and it is also, I can absolutely testify, it is more empowering to shave your hair than having it just fall every day in clumps. It's very depressing.
Mm.
Did you have a question? No. All right. Well, I want to show you with Sydney's help and with one volunteer, how a haircut influences a person's energy system. Who would like to be the volunteer? Yeah? Okay. Well, we just need one chair. And you just need to sit. And Sydney is my friend, and she's an acupuncturist. And we actually produced a little video, and I'll give you my YouTube address later, that shows, you know, what how a haircut influences the body, the meridians and acupuncture points. So I would like you, Sydney, to muscle test. Are you all familiar with the technique muscle testing in kinesiology?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you mind explaining it real briefly and muscle testing him before I do something and after?
Sure. And were you thinking checking all the points or just...
Yeah,
just
do the more points.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there are points on the body that relate to the different organs, and then you can use a muscle to be a monitor muscle. And if you press on that muscle, it should be strong. You know, it should meet my pressure with no problem. If I pinch real quickly, the mind will think that you're flailing, so it'll drop. So that arm will usually go down. It might just bounce or it might really drop. And then if I use your body, like I can press on the arm and touch the different points that relate to the organs, we can see what's going on. If they're all strong, that's great. And then we, you know,
mm-hmm.
if not, there's little
mm-hmm.
things you can do.
mm-hmm.
And we'll see what the haircut will do.
I mean, it's not a hair, I'm not doing
not
a haircut.
But
I'm just showing
yeah.
you a few details of what conscious haircut
what a haircut
is about.
Would do,
yeah.
Okay, so thanks. I'll use this arm, and if you hold it up and then meet my pressure, I pinch, go full, we saw a little difference, and then this would be the lung. Basically, we're getting less strong and less responsive.
Great. All right. So now we're acting a little hair cutting interaction. And I have your permission to touch you.
Yes.
Without,
yes.
I'm not cutting, it's just simulated.
Okay.
Okay. All right. All right. So, how do you want your hair cut today?
I want my hair cut today.
Hey, how are you doing? Are you coming to the party on Saturday? What would you like today?
I'd like it quiet.
Okay, test them again. See what this little interaction did.
Yeah, that was the first bout was not. There's a few more bouncy spots.
It still seems pretty strong, but
yeah, but not where he was before. I think.
You
see, like it's all a little, little bouncy.
Okay, well, we'll see. All right, so now we try again. Okay, well, let's take a deep breath in and out. Well, I don't know if this kinesiology testing was very dramatic, but I think I made a point, and the point is that aggressive movements, hectic movements in a person's field may result in sort of a scattered disposition and a scattered energy field, whereas movements that are gentle, that are more Tai Chi-like and flowing can actually be strengthening. Are you convinced?
Yes.
Yeah. Then I wanted to talk a little bit about the cranial bones. Now, my teacher always said when he was asked, well, what is hair balancing all about? And again, it shows that none of us came from the point of vanity of just wanting to look good, although everybody wants to look good and attractive. But we really came from a point of efficiency and wanting wellness and health and ultimately freedom. And he always said, well, it's all about the bones, and he meant the cranial bones. And our skull is held together by 9 bones, and everything pulls on it. And we were discussing earlier head covers, hair clips, everything has a little bit of an influence on those cranial bones. And who of you is familiar with craniosacral therapy? Yeah? Basically, when you cut someone's hair in a way that is balancing and gentle and follows a system, you are doing a mini craniosacral treatment on them. And the ideal state would be to have the hair weightless. And not everybody wants to wear the hair super, super short or shaved. And that's why the system of angles and the way we work with people's hair is designed to try to have the hair as weightless as possible. And it's always my favorite compliment when clients say after the haircut, and they say, I don't feel my hair. And I warn them too sometimes. And I mean, you and Mayel and Sydney, you've experienced it, right? And you were fine, you were trusting me, but some people have said, oh God, did you actually cut all my hair off? And often I don't cut in front of a mirror. I mean, it depends. In my office space in Los Angeles, there are mirrors, I cannot avoid them, but I can still turn the person away. But not having your hair cut in front of a mirror also has another whole meaning. People relax more. People sit straighter. And they're not distracted. They are not all of a sudden four people in the room, or like in a hair salon, instead of 10, 20, because everybody is doubled. That's basic feng shui. But it's just you and the person, and there is a much deeper focus and actually a meditation possible. By the way, I don't know if I thanked you, Sydney. Thank you. All right, any other questions? What else interests you about hair? Psychology? Yeah.
I just wondered if you knew why humans can have such long hair.
I don't. Yeah, I don't think so. Other than that is just one of the differences. And maybe because, you know, we don't have fur anymore. I mean, if you believe that evolution theory. So that's what's left. And it gets extra long. And again, it fits. I mean, my answer would go towards hair indeed being an antenna and being a highly evolved feeler. That's where I would go with that answer. And there are some animals who have quite a bit of hair, some monkeys and lions, of course, and horses. And I have worked, believe it or not, with horses and their owners, because even horses can suffer from bad haircuts. Very traumatic, and they feel it. They feel, especially if they are show horses, they feel some sort of discomfort and shame. And if their hair is butchered and cut in a not nice way, they feel it. And the owners too. The owners are very unhappy. And yeah, horses have manes. Questions?
Yeah,
I'll continue.
Lots of animals have long tails with lots of hair,
right? Yeah.
Which is kind of the opposite almost of a horse, where that happens, theirs on their head, and many animals
right,
have
exactly,
it.
Yeah. I mean, insects and animals have feelers and hair, and it's all being used for camouflage and for sensing danger. That's one I forgot earlier on. You know, when hair stands on end, I mean, it also is still a relic of sensing danger. Do you have another question for me? Okay. All right. Then let's talk a little bit about hair care and advertising. I found out in just the last 2 or 3 years how devastating and disturbing actually the false depiction of hair is for people in advertisement. I've many times, and for some reason it just started in the last 2 or 3 years, I have people come to me, mostly women, and they tell me that they have all their hair broken off and they have tons of split ends and they're so unhappy about it and say, can we do something about it? And then I look at their hair and it is not broken and they don't have split ends. And it happened repeatedly, not just to me, some of my friends as well. And what happens is that all major cosmetic companies use false hair for their advertisement. They use hair on their models that is made out of wigs or has extensions, which again are made out of fake hair or real hair, but still they're extensions. Then they are photoshopped, they are highly chemically processed so they look shiny, and then they use highly sophisticated lighting to feature 5 qualities that will increase any type of sale. Super long, super shiny, super volume, all flowing, no tangles, and all aligned. That is what sells, but that hair is not real. As I mentioned earlier, hair follows its own growth cycle, and that's why there are always shorter hairs that just came, and the long hair fell out at one point. And so if you see a commercial and the hair is all one length, it's fake hair. But what happens is that people start comparing themselves. Although we know better that we shouldn't compare ourselves with the people on the billboards, and we know it's all Photoshop, we still compare ourselves. And people come and feel inferior and think that their hair is not healthy. It is weak, it is thin, it is split. And what do? they buy products. They buy lots of product and don't feel good about themselves. And the worst product anybody could buy, because then they're buying a lie, is a split-end repair product. A split-end cannot be mended, bent back. Impossible. The branch of a tree that has cracked, right? Have you ever tried it? That doesn't work. There is no cure. It's not in this dimension. We cannot bring it back. And the only cure is prevention, to make sure that your diet and your body is well moisturized and that you are not using harsh tools or products on your hair to dry it out. That is the preventive cure for dry hair and split ends. And you can only cut it and then start fresh. So that's really something. And people even think that, young women think that broken hair equals split hair. I mean, without reflecting, it's just being fed to them and they buy it. Yes.
Years ago, I lived with someone who was in the dog world, mm-hmm. you know, like, and your talk about these products reminded me of the dog shows, of how much effort is put into bathing the dog, brushing the dog, they will dye the dog, so that the whites are glaring white and the blacks are, you know, deeply black. I mean, they spend a huge amount of money on that, so that when they take the dog out into the rain, it looks.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, it is unnatural. That is actually how a dog looks. You know, like,
right.
Not that. I'm sorry, that just...
I'm thrilled that you brought that up. You're right. It happens with dogs, yes, and animals also suffer from allergies and chemical sensitivities, and well, they do it for the show. And I understand for special occasions. I understand that you want to maybe use hot rollers or do something special with your hair, but I hope that people will demand more real life people with real hair and real situations. And I try to support companies, and also for my own company, to use photos of people from all walks of life, different cultures, age groups, body types, just to show real people, so that we all can feel better about ourselves, being real.
Oh yeah. So you're talking about, that reminds me that when I was a kid, this was in the 50s and early 60s, my mother would always give me permanents because she thought mm-hmm. that you should have curly hair. You know,
right.
That was the girls should have curly hair. And talk about chemicals, man, they were really nasty
yeah.
in those days.
Yeah.
And in fact, she blamed herself for me not having curly hair, because when I was about 3 or 4 years old, I had curly hair apparently, and then she cut it, and after that it was always grew back straight.
that was sad for her, really, because
she...
Sad for her. You're very compassionate. That's sweet. Yeah, no, she didn't know better, and it's true.
And then meantime, black women mm-hmm. all straightened their hair, because they weren't supposed to have, you know, really nappy hair. This
yeah. No, it's still. I mean, it's still, in the advertisement world, straight hair is still favored over curly hair.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because of its smoothness and elegance and whatever the attributes are. I mean, you can look any newsstand and you can look at all the cover photos and you do not see a lot of curly wavy hair. But I want to say something about baby's first haircut and what happened to you. It's actually not uncommon. It has to do a little bit with what I demonstrated here. Kids have curls. Actually, all of our hair has a wave to it, because there's a cowlick in the back. Some people have two, or you can call them, I like to call them whorls. I mean, it's a cowlick, it's a different word. and so, actually, hair grows in a spiral. 90% of all people, roughly, have a clockwise turn of their hair, and about 10% the other way, mostly identical twins. The other way around. And you can feel it off. You want to feel it right now. You can just take your hand and go around clockwise and see how that feels. And then you go counterclockwise. And you see what feels smoother and better. Now, there's a difference, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the so we have a spiral. Again, we're back at the concept of hair being an antenna. Yes?
I'm just curious if the, since it's 90 and 10%, that's the same percentage as left-handers and right-handers, is there a correlation there?
Could be, yeah. Mm-hmm. I've done one study about left-handedness and right-handedness, but I didn't think about comparing it to that one, mm-hmm. but I could...
So most people,
I don't know, I'm left-handed.
Yeah, and I've seen, and it's like rare, you know, as a hairdresser, you look, it's like, oh my God, it's the other way around. Mm-hmm. It's very rare. And so basically, back to this concept of hair being an antenna, being a spiral. That's what we have. Our hair is a spiral. Now, spirals do not look the same left or right. Right? It's not. But then there is this other need that people have and desire, and that is the need and the enjoyment of symmetry. We do respond to symmetry. I mean, we love mandalas, and we just, it's just beautiful. But our hair, if we look from the front, is not a mandala. It is a spiral, a different geometric form. And that's why one side of the hair will go this way and the other will go this way. And only with chemical means and blow dryers and whatnot, styling gel, can you force your hair to be exactly the same, symmetrical. So it's great to understand where people are coming from. And we will, again, in advertisement and everything, we will respond to symmetry. But what happened with you and with many little babies, when the hair is cut for the first time, it is often too aggressive. Because there is a way to cut curls. Mm-hmm. And if a curl, I can show you, demonstrate it. Let's say this is a curl, right? The C here. So when you cut it right in the center, it's called cutting the curl in the valley, in its valley. And imagine what happens. You imagine that there's all these different curls. All of a sudden, the curl is no longer, is cut in half, and the whole rest of the hair sort of has to adjust into its curl. And often it won't do it. It's effort. And sometimes when you cut curly, people say, this part will just hang straight. The trick is to cut the curl, not here in the valley, but where it bends, where the next curl starts. Uh-huh. Then it's just one curl less. And the rest of the curls will actually say, oh, cool, there's less weight hanging us down. We'll bounce up. we will even be bouncier and curlier.
Oh, that's funny. So she actually did change my hair.
Whoever cut your hair. But again, they didn't know. They had reasons for it.
No,
and
of course,
but it happens all the time.
Funny.
And I've done lots of babies' first haircuts, and it's just very, very careful. And I recommend to wait until actually the hair becomes too distracting for the child to explore the world. As soon as a little child has hair, you know, in their face, that do something about it. And boys won't tuck it back. And my daughter, for example, she would not tolerate any hair clips. And I was proud of her. I mean, she had no idea about the cranial bones at that time consciously. When she was little, she would not tolerate anything in her hair the first, I would say, 12, 13 years of her life. And I'm happy I never put anything into her hair because I knew it would pull on her cranial system. One little clip. I mean, and us women, we know of people with long hair, when we put our hair up in a bun, right, and we leave it in there for a couple of days, you know, for a whole day, and we take it off, it's just almost sore, right? You know that feeling? Yeah. Yes, no.
Sorry, is it okay to...
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because I was just thinking of my little 2.5-year-old granddaughter. She does this thing with her hair all the time where she makes it into these little spiral curls on top of her head. And my daughter's always trying fairly hard to keep her from doing that,
right.
You know, because it makes these knots that just stay there.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought that up. That's also an important theme in one of my... the themes I'm very interested in. When this happens, there is a difference between a self-soothing practice that is just like sucking your thumb or doing something. It's self-soothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally would let the baby self-soothe, mm-hmm. if it's that mild, mm-hmm. and if it's just twirling, right? But then there is also something that's called hair pulling disorder, trichotillomania. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, then, yeah, you might want to look. I mean, if the child pulls out the hair and cannot stop and does it for, you know, long periods of time, mm-hmm. then that is something to be worried about. But basically, it's just something self-soothing. It falls under autoerotic behaviors, and we do it all the time. I mean, you know, we touch ourselves, we hug ourselves, we
and men with their beards.
Men with their beards, yeah. we just exactly, you know, we do this and this is all little movements, and they're self-soothing, and we do need that. It's self-love. Good. Okay. One more thing. I did bring some postcards. I just had them printed with all my information and. You're interested to receive news, and when my book is finally coming out, so that's all here. And then I also wanted to show you my combs. Have you ever seen a comb carved out of gemstone?
No.
We have. Sydney has. That was a real gift. It was a vision when my hair balancing teacher had left his physical body. It was a time when I had just also some visions. I didn't know he had died, but I did have the vision of a rose quartz comb. And now that was, 30 years ago. And this rose quartz comb appeared and said, I want to be manifested to spread love and light into people's hair. And I was in my early 20s, and I had noticed that people don't like their hair. Not everybody. They worry about it. They obsess about it. They want it different. There was a lot of self-hatred going on, and I thought, the rose quartz comb. And then I found someone who made the first rose quartz comb, and then many years later, it was a whole process, quite an organic slow process, because that's what stones, I believe, teach us. There's no hurry. It took them millions of years to grow, to become so beautiful. But finally, I found someone in Germany who helped me have them made, and I want to show them to you, and maybe even experience. Okay. So this is a snow quartz. So how many are we? We are 4, 7, 8. Would you all like to experience a gem comb? Do we have time? We have a few minutes, right? Mm-hmm. Would you like to partner up with another person?
Sure, why not?
And then, why don't I put this one back so no one knows where it is? And then I have, these 10 different combs all in a black silk pouch, so you don't know which one, and you pull one. And then you just gently glide over the person's hair. You don't need to have any training for that. It you will know what to do. Don't try to comb out all the hair, right? I mean, just feel it. And if you feel comfortable to do that with another person here, fine. If not, you can do it with yourself on your own.
Okay.
Who would like to pick their first comb?
Sure, I'm going to pick.
Yes. So here, and so you can just pick one, take it out, and.
Should we just pick one?
Yeah. Well, one person can pick one. Yeah, everybody can pick one. We have 10.
Okay.
So basically, just stand behind the person and connect, and then it's actually fun to not know anything about them. I mean, I wrote, by the way, a whole book on them too, which is really
did you?
Yeah. And so there is a whole world about them. Okay, Marielle, yeah.
Yeah.
Robert, you know each other.
And what are we supposed to be experiencing?
Now, there is, well, this is, there are many things. I mean, I usually do these events on January
1st.
But for now, it's just this sort of sound of it.
It feels good.
Like, you know, and the intention could be basically to hone the strength of the
Well, it's very soothing. So we use a John Comfrey.
Which looks like the one you have under your eye.
I don't have hair to comb, but you can
ahead the anyway. Sound. You'll see all the sound.
Oh, I did hear it.
Oh, and they all sound different.
Hard to get through.
They do.
But that's okay, you don't have to.
Yeah. It's combs. Although, six of my combs have an hickory.
That's like a flute.
That's nice.
Like a flute.
And most of the crystals have hexagonal structures, but the snowflake obsidians, they are glass. Right, yeah. I like it.
I like it. Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, you can.
That
actually,
really
the experience shows that when I do a gem comb evening, and you're welcome to come also at one point to my studio, and I sometimes do that, where we really just play with the combs and treat each other. People who have never done given a healing treatment. I mean, I have my business clients in LA, you know, they take a comb in their hand and they just know what to do. And they go along the arm,
there.
And all of a sudden the comb stops, and they said, what? Why? And then later they found out that that was where the person had a fracture.
Oh.
And there's still an imprint in the field. Right? And we have many, many.
No, I mean,
it's something,
it's
you can really do.
And I'm still feeling the
tingling.
The tingling,
yeah.
You play
with this. Well, it sort of reminds me of a yogic, some yogic practices where you use a little flat wooden piece, of, you know, smooth wooden piece, and rub your skin or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard of that. Okay, but it's
cool. You do it on the skin.
Yeah.
We were doing it when Linda and I did the. The video, like where we found some points that would go weak, we can use the comb to correct it.
Yeah, you know,
what are some of these combs made of?
I have snow quartz and quartz crystal. This is a, you know, the quartz crystal is more or less clear. You guys have the snow quartz, so some of them are very clear, some are little milky, but this is definitely a quartz crystal. And then I have, I have a black obsidian and a snowflake obsidian. I have a blue lace agate, which is quartz, full chakra. The snowflake, yeah, the white flecks, exactly. I'll show you. Oh, someone might have it. Or is it? Yeah, someone has it, I think.
And the reddish one?
The reddish one is red jasper. And the red jasper and the tiger eye are both coming from Africa. Yeah. And
John too.
You can basically. I mean, I wrote a book on the gem combs, and if you sign up to my newsletter, hairgarden.com, you have a free download of my gem comb guidebook. And
it has
now you have.
It's quite.
I mean,
so. And we try to find a logic or see if we could see overtones or harmonies, but it was too difficult. We tried to even record the sound. I tried to record the sound of cutting hair.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's that those projects have not really happened.
What is this one?
Amethyst.
Yeah.
That's what I am.
This is lower pitch and the richer harmonic.
Right.
They all cut the same.
Yeah.
They all cut the same. They all have nine teeth and And then I send them back to nature and I played many combs and tempos around the world already.
Really?
Yes. No, not me, but people and friends and me too. But
okay,
yeah.
You cut them on.
So yeah.
How do you decide which one a person is good for?
Intuitive.
Yes, I mean usually they're displayed. And then you see which one jumps at you, which color you like. But then you could also read about them. You could also share what is going on in your life. Do you need to let go of something? I would say, okay, go with one of the obsidians, the lower chakra, the Pele, Kali, fire energy, because it's frozen lava. But most people, the rose quartz comb is actually the one that sold most. And it really is the one for the heart. And there's so much going on with also women and their mothers in hair. That's a big issue that comes up, and just relationships. Amethyst and rose quartz are both for relationship themes.
Relationship what? Themes.
Themes.
And what about this one?
The quartz, the snow quartz. That is the one that I felt has more to do with even the chakras above the crown chakras. Uh-huh. It has the like an innocent energy and soothing and calming. It belongs to the astrological sign of Cancer. And it has moon energy, whereas this one, the clearer one, is more the Saturn sun energy.
The moon is in Cancer.
Mine too. Mine was in Cancer too. Yeah, I have that one.
That's kind of fun.
The snow quartz cones I always have near my lap, my computer. You know, that's the strongest one for me. Yeah, so that is something to explore more and to play with. And I hope that if you do send me your email, I'll sign up and I can invite you to another gemcomb evening.
A whole evening.
We did that before. We did that once. Yeah. And then you lay flat and you just and then you really work and relax. It's just wonderful. I believe that crystals really can help us protect our field against electromagnetic energies and the whole cell phone and computer stuff. I'm wearing labradorite tonight, and I usually, this is like my jet lag. My flight piece. It's just, it's incredible. When I have stones around me, I feel stronger. But do you guys actually sell devices here that protect people from EMFs?
Not exclusively, although we have in the past had some pyramids and that sort of
thing. Yeah, or cue links, those things, or pendants.
We don't at this time.
You don't at this time.
In the past.
You have in the past. Yeah, I too. In the past, I have sold them to all my hair clients, and I'm looking for something new because I feel we need a new wave of something. But crystals are my definitely one thing I use to protect myself.
When will your book be out?
Well, the Awakening Hair Book is supposed to be released on a new moon. April 18th. And again, if you send me your email, you will get an email. And we also will have a free download day, several free download days, and then we will print some. And it's my first adventure in self-publishing. I've published 3 books with a publishing company in Germany, and it's time to do it.
I know someone who would really love it.
Thank you. Yeah, that would be nice.
So your postcard has your website and all that on it?
Exactly. It has website on it, phone number, and information. I'm going to a conference, actually, on the East Coast in just a few days, and I'm presenting at a hair pulling disorder conference.
Wow.
Yeah, and so basically this postcard is made for this conference. So it's all on there, and I am not married to any product company. However, one of my teachers and mentors does have really good 100% natural products, so you'll see them there. And you didn't even ask about that, but wherever I go, that's the biggest question: what shampoo should I use? And so it's really easier for me to say, use that one. It's great, but I will not get married. You know, my training when I teach hair balancing, it is not connected to products and will not be. And my combs are separate. I mean, you can. That's right, a luxury item that you can enjoy and play with. But I, will not do this because it will compromise integrity.
So I was wondering if you have any recommendations about dandruff.
I do. I'm just wondering our time.
Maybe
we should do a closing now, and I think.
You could do a couple more questions.
Okay. All right.
Do you want to pass those around?
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of need to leave.
You need to leave. Yeah. Well, this is the poster I've made specifically for the conference, and there's also, if you ever would like to find out about photos, there's then
and that's my place, and that's my place in Rona Park, my studio.
Oh.
And
by the way, I don't have my space in Rona Park is not a hair salon. It is not licensed as a hair salon. It is licensed as a image consulting and photography and videography studio, which it indeed is. I don't do walk-ins. I do cut hair in there, but it is officially a studio. But we can also have workshops there. It has, you know, a little less space than here, I guess, but about the same, I think. Yeah.
I have a question. You know, in terms of the discussion you had earlier about. I really liked your presentation in terms of making the point that hair is a natural part of the body, and there are these psychic and electromagnetic properties
mm-hmm.
that are part of the body, and why shouldn't the hair be a manifestation of that? So then there's the question of male pattern baldness, you know, that we in different forms of your different.
Different patterns,
thank you.
Right.
Different patterns of male pattern baldness. And I'm wondering how you view that phenomenon in this context.
Dandruff and male pattern baldness, yeah. Well, male pattern baldness obviously is genetically caused foremost. However, what we found out, and we are just a few friends and other hair authors, is that there's more to that. What speaks for the genetic disposition is that hair loss in men, baldness in men, does not occur for example, a lot of Asian people. It's very different. And Native American Eskimos, I mean, there are many tribes in Africa who do not have that.
Right.
So, yes, then it is genetically caused, but you also, of course, need to look at the diet. And you can also see, especially Japan is so amazing because Japan is an island, and you can see what's happening in Japan over the last years, and male pattern baldness is increasing with every McDonald's that has opened. I mean, okay, it's a very, radical statement, but, if you just eat vegetables and rice and fish, So that's something. There's one author in Germany who did a very courageous thing. He wrote a book about male pattern baldness, and he believes that it has to do with the relationship that men have with their fathers and their grandfathers, so type of family constellation work. And that there's something there to explore and discover for each and every one. My experience is when young men come to me and consult, then if it's early, there's almost a chance you can stop and halt it. But when a man comes and is 50 years old or 60 years old and had already less hair for many, many decades, then again, it's very hard to reverse because, as I mentioned earlier, the body is happy when your heart is beating and when your lungs are functioning well. It doesn't really put that much energy into it. So it's hard to reverse. However, the placebo effect of Rogaine is 11% versus the actual effect, which is 14.
Huh.
And
which
these Rogaine.
I know, but which is compared to 11% compared to what?
14.
14.
Uh huh.
Yeah. And I did the fire walk. I've experienced mind over matter, and I would encourage every younger man who is starting to experience falling to get regular massages, to really take care, not to maybe constantly shave. That's one thing too. I think, may I say, where you are in your age, I think it's perfect for you, but some little boys, I mean, they shave their hair every single day. Now what happens, it's just a message to the hair. I don't want you, don't grow. And we women, we experience it too. Or if you shave your arms or your legs or your eyebrows or whatever, if you do it over and over, the hair will grow less. It just does. So there's a lot of that. I mean, it's intense when you see all these little kids and boys who are already so shaven. And yeah, that was one thing. Yeah, so I had mentioned the different cultures, the nutrition, the family constellation approach, which is very daring when you read his book, which is only in German, it's impressive. But you can't really tell a person who comes to you, look at the relationship you have with your father, it's still very genetic.
Passed on by the mother.
Actually, not proven.
No?
Mm-mm.
That's what they used
to say. It can be, yeah. Here, I have in my questionnaire that I send to new clients, I always ask, who do you think you inherited your hair from? Which is for my own little research, but according to my newest information, you can inherit your father's hair, mother's hair, and both sets of your grandparents' hair easily. It's no rule. Yeah, there are many stories about that. It's really tough for siblings if one boy has a lot of hair and the other doesn't. And for women, the same thing. One sister has the culturally valued, thick, long, blonde hair or something, and the other sister has fine, silky, brown hair. That's interesting. I hope I answered it a little bit.
Well, you said, there's certain directions, a lot more that could be said, but maybe you should answer the last question.
Good. Dandruff, dandruff can come from wearing caps and having too much hair, not really shampooing your hair. I'm going to show you real quick how to shampoo your hair. You do not put shampoo on top here and just like shovel it, right? That's not how you shampoo hair. You need to separate the hair, put the shampoo here, and just massage your scalp, right? You basically shampoo your scalp. In German, we even have a word for that. We no longer say shampoo, the holistic people. We say Kopfhautwäsche, scalp wash, which doesn't sound good in English, because that's the point. So you need to really wash the scalp, and a lot of people don't. They don't reach it, and then dandruff builds up. Through heat, and I used to get dandruff just from flying to LA to Germany. Just the dryness and everything, and I started to itch. I had a little dandruff. It's outside, and then dandruff, of course, comes from the inside because the scalp has some of the largest pores of the body. So we do detox through our scalp, and anything usually with digestion, allergies, it comes out too.
Fascinating.
And tips are to shampoo right, to brush your hair with a good board bristle brush, and for some people who like apple cider vinegar, you can dab a little apple cider vinegar on your hair. And people who would like to treat it with oils, really good high quality oil, sesame oil for example, that's another way too.
Olive oil.
Olive oil is wonderful, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much. So we have a custom here at Many Rivers, and it's called the Dana Bowl or Donation Bowl. Dana is the word for generosity in Buddhism. And so that bowl over there, we encourage you to contribute to it. We share half of that generosity with our speakers to further their work and to retain half to maintain this space for further such events. And thank you all for coming tonight. And it was a lovely evening. And thank you so much to Linda.
Yay. Excellent.